do ask for your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us deliver the burden that's on our heart. Enjoyed my time here very much in the service this morning. And my heart says amen also to the Spirit of the Lord and to His presence here. That song said I can't take a step or I dare not take a step. And I think also of the song that says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And that's my testimony this morning, is that the longer that I serve Him, it's true, the sweeter that He grows. But also the more I recognize my dependence on the Lord. And it doesn't change. I don't get to the point where I begin to feel like I have arrived or achieved some status to where I'm ready to face the enemy on my own or even to face my days on my own. But instead, I'm reminded of my humanity, my frailty, and my dependency on the Lord. And that has been my burden over the years, I think, is to express and to encourage each other to keep our hand in the Lord and recognize that we're completely dependent on Him. I appreciate the spirit of that song also says that He has stood the test of time. And I was thinking this morning as we were singing, I actually just, in my mind, I thought of different ones that I have loved that are in heaven. And Brother Tavis was talking about needing a new body and thinking about them having those new bodies. And it gets sweeter and it gets a little closer as time goes by. People that we love are over on that side, and I can't wait to get there in a lot of ways. I do like this, love the life that the Lord's given us, but I'm ready to go to heaven also and be able to enjoy that. And they have proven over time that the Word of God is true and what He says is true, and that it has a power that will stay with us through all of our circumstances of life. And that my burden this morning is that we prepare our hearts. And I know you have a revival meeting coming up, and there's several ones, different parts of the country, and it's not just because that meeting is coming, but I want to have my heart in a prepared place all the time for God to come and witness and bring the truth that I need. And I recognize that in my own self, I think about it in this light, that God has to get Ken Elwell to heaven, and I don't envy him any little bit, because he knows me and it's his job, and I cannot fathom what it takes for him to accomplish that. I can't chart that course on my own. I can't decide what it takes in order, and I need his grace and his mercy, but I need his truth also. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, that while I also need the truth and that grace blended together. I need to have understanding and knowledge, because there's a power that's in the truth, and then I need His grace to be able to help apply that. There's a verse in Psalms in the 10th chapter in the 17th verse, and I'll just read it to you. But it says, Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause Thine ear to hear. And I love that as a starting point, that I want to have my heart open, and there is a humility that we have, that we approach God recognizing our dependency on Him. And it says that He will prepare, and I want to prepare my heart, but I also need Him to help me be in a place to receive the truth and the knowledge that I need. And I love the part that it says that He has caused His ear to hear. And we think about us hearing. We had Sunday school this morning. If you missed it, I'm sorry, because you missed a good one. But this message builds on it. We heard about us having ears, but I love that it's not a one-way street. That as I come to God and I have needs and I have things in my life I need the Lord to address, I'm glad that He hears me. And the prayers that we pray, and sometimes we find ourselves in places that all we can say is, Lord, help me. I don't know how to get out of this mess, or I don't know how to fix this, or life is not the way that I want it to be. And there's a whole multitude, a host of things that each one of us can go through. And we come to where we're just, Lord, I need Your help. I need you to show me your truth. I need to understand it. I need to be able to receive it. And we open our heart to the Lord that way. But it's not just, there was a book that was written, I think they made a movie about it, about a man who was on an island and he talked to a volleyball for a while and created a relationship with a ball. And I'm thankful that God is not just a rock. He's not just a tree. He's not just a ball, but he hears me. He has cognitive ability to understand what I'm saying and look upon my life, and he has the truth that I need. So I lift my heart up and I cry out to the Lord, and he has an ear to hear my cry. And I want to encourage you this morning that whatever you're going through in this life, and all of us have our own paths to take and the things that we have to deal with, but whatever it might be, I have full assurance that if you'll cry out to the Lord, he has an ear to hear, and he has a truth that is, I say it specific to us because it applies to my heart. And I don't think there's lots of different truths, but I believe that the Lord is able to inspire truth to our heart in a way that we can receive it and understand it and apply it. There's another verse in Psalms in the 139th chapter in the 23rd verse, and it says, "Search me, O God." That's actually a scary place, but it's the place I want my heart to be. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, my heart and my attitude is, Lord, I'm dependent on you, and I open myself to your sight, to your spirit. Search me, O God. I open myself and there isn't any choices, there isn't any stands, there isn't any declarations that I've made that are not subject to your authority and your truth and your word and your spirit. So search me. The things that I believe and the choices that I've made in life and how I've gotten to where I am are not because I didn't think they were right necessarily. People, they get where they are because that's what they believe in. But yet I'm still dependent on the Lord to search those things, the motivations of my heart, the thought processes, the things that have caused me. Lord, search me. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. And there's an openness in my life that says, Lord, give me what I need. I can't see myself. I always think I'm right, don't you? I mean, you wouldn't make that decision if you didn't. Sometimes we're not sure, and we may ask for advice, but most of the time, I know what to do. No, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need you to give me your truth and your knowledge in a way that I can understand it. I want to turn to Romans in the 10th chapter now. In the 8th verse, it says, "But what saith it?" What righteousness? But what saith it? "The Lord, the word is nigh thee, even in my mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." This word, this utterance that is there, I love that the Lord is able to bring an inspiration from within us to be able to respond. They were asking about what righteousness is and trying to understand who Jesus was. And Paul was saying there is an utterance, there is a word that is right there, and you have to respond to it. There's an utterance. There's a faith and a believing in the word. And as you read on down here, he talks about the preachers bringing the word. And whether it's revival meeting or whether it's testimony night or whether it's Sunday morning or whether it's just when we're reading the word, there is a word that comes forward, and then there's an inspiration that comes with it. There is something that begins to appeal, and there is a power that comes from the truth that is from the word of God. Our song services, I love. I'm an emotional person. I cry. I can't shout because there's no voice inside. It doesn't come out because there's tears in my eyes and everything's clogged. I can't express myself that way. I love the moving that is there, and the Lord uses that in our worship. But there is a special power that comes from the truth of his word. The inspiration of truth, when it comes, there is a response or an inspiration within us that wants to receive that. We have to do it by faith. And when we got saved, it was the same way. We heard about salvation. We knew the condition that we were in and the depravity that we have. And there was a sign or an inspiration of hope that things can be different, that I can be saved from it. And then it's one man said, "You've almost persuaded me." The inspiration was there. He was right there. But just if I can by faith receive and accept this word, then there is a power that comes. God won't do it without that. He doesn't come and just break the power of sin without us receiving in faith, saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to receive your truth." So there's a part on our part that we have to respond when that inspiration of truth comes and we understand his word and we find that it cuts or it applies or it has an effect on my life. Lord, I believe in what your word says, and then there is a power that comes, the cleansing of the blood, the saving of our life, the keeping us pure. All of that comes from responding to that inspiration of faith. But in our walk with the Lord, it doesn't ever change from that. The Lord brings his word and there's an inspiration, and it's, will I believe or will I not believe? Will I accept or will I reject the power of the word that is coming? That's what he said. The word is nigh, and if you'll just receive it, then there's going to be a power that comes and you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now here's a promise that I can begin to hold on to. The condition, and for me, the gospel is right where we live. I don't like some painted picture on the wall. I've got problems in my life. I've got attitudes to deal with. I've got personalities and people and circumstances. And I need to have victory over those things in my life. I need, Lord, your truth to come, and I want to receive it. And I appreciate that the word tells us, here's the word of truth, that if you'll believe, you shall not be ashamed. The power of the word will do what it says it will. You can be sure of that every single time, that as you stand on the promises and we apply them in our life, you shall not be ashamed. There's lots of people, they sell something and you'll buy it, and then you don't tell anybody I bought that. It doesn't do what they said it would. I'm ashamed that I spent my money on that. Don't tell anybody that I fell for that. There's all kinds of things, but the word of truth, you shall not be ashamed. It, not only in this life, but when we do get to heaven, that's when the day we'll lift our hand in the greatest victory, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel and what Jesus did on our behalf. He goes on there, he says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every person, doesn't matter your last name, your background, your history, doesn't matter what you, the word of God still applies. And if we respond to it, yes, I'm ashamed of my past and I'm ashamed of things that I've done, but because of the word and because of what Jesus has done, he's the Lord over all. And all of us can enter. You can have the same testimony and the same experience. There's not a second class Christian. There's not third class. There's not this one from over there. Is the Lord over the Jew and the... We're not, maybe some of you are Jews here, I don't know, but I don't think so. You would think we have some special connection, or that we were the people. There's all kinds of places people can elevate themselves to have some sort of status or position. But it's the same, it's whether you're a Jew, you're Greek, you're Gentile, you're from the south, you're from the north, you're from the left, you're from the right. I'm the same Lord over all, and if you'll respond to my word, it will accomplish what I've said it out to do, what I've said that it will do. It will do it. I'm the Lord over everyone if they'll respond and apply to that. And whosoever, the enemy likes to put you in the other camp. You are what you are, and you'll never be anything different. The vices that you're in, the traps that you're in, the choice, you're just going to be like this until the end. There's no hope. He speaks those lies to people, and they get caught up in things. But it's whosoever. It's whosoever will hear that inspiration and say, Lord, I need that. And I'm gonna cast my lot with that word of truth. I'm going to accept it and move to it. Then he'll be Lord over your life also. Whosoever shall call upon In the 14th verse, it says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and to bring glad tidings of good things. This is the how beautiful are the feet. The Lord blesses his word as it comes forward. And okay, we like to think of the preacher behind the pulpit, but we're all preaching this gospel in our lives. It's not just a testimony on Wednesday night, but we preach this gospel, and it makes our feet beautiful. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, there's a beauty that comes because of the peace and the blessing that comes from the Word of God. So I want to be ready to receive this. I want to be able to hear it. There's something unique in the way that God has made this. That in our ears to hear, when we hear His Word, and I like stories, and stories are good, and I like object lessons, and I like different ways to help us understand. But there is a power that is in the Word of God that is unique and specific. And when we hear it, there is a part of us that responds to that. People will reject it or accept it. And it's vital to us in our walk with the Lord that we have a diet of what the Word of God is. If I'm dealing with things in life, opinions are great, counsel is good, but I need the Word of God. And there is an answer for every part in our life. My attitudes, the dealing with it, there's you may not want to hear it, but the truth is there that we need in the Word. And with it comes a power to break things, to break the power that the enemy has. That when we receive it with faith, there's a grace and an inspiration that allows us to receive and perform on the Word of truth that the Lord brings. I can't do it by myself. I can't just put it into my own words or I'm going to make it apply. There's something divine that comes from the Word of God. There's a deliverance, a grace, a change. So if I'm dealing with things in my life that are bigger than I am, and maybe I've tried to change things in the past, or I tried to develop good habits, or I'm going to be better at this, or I'm going to just grit my teeth and I'm going to set my chin. But it's bigger than we are. It's greater than our ability and our power. And there is a power that comes from the Word of God that delivers, that sets free, that breaks the power that the enemy has. And when we hear that word, when we hear that a word of truth come forward, then it's whether that inspiration that begins to come, that could be mine. And the Lord does that. He passes by us. We sing that song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And it's not just because I'm awed to be in His presence. No, I want to hear His voice because there's an inspiration that comes. And I have needs that I need the Lord to touch. And it comes by the word of His truth. Preaching, it says, brings about faith. So I don't know how many times have we said, "Lord, help my faith. Lord, I want to have more faith." And we say, well, trials bring more faith. And they do. But the reason is because in the trial, what do we receive? And when I'm facing temptation, when I'm in a difficult place, then I begin to search usually. When I'm feeling good, I don't need anybody's help. Everything is right with the world. But when it's not, now I'm dependent. And I'm saying, "Lord, I need something." And the songs that we sing, it's not the melody. It's not that it's an old song like a familiar blanket. It can be if you're not careful. But I need there to be something that is true, that applies back to the Word, that helps me in my place of affliction, in the challenge that I'm facing. And the Lord brings those songs, or He brings verses, or a message, or maybe a word fitly spoken from somebody, that the truth is in it, and now my faith responds. When I say, "Lord, increase my faith," it means I need to hear the Word. I need to hear Your truth. I need to hear it, because again, it is not a magic formula. You know, when you're a student, you had to write it 100 times on the board, right? "I will not speak out loud in class," or whatever. And it was trying to drill into us some sort of tenet to change our direction. We have to realize there is a divine power that comes from the inspiration of God's Word that changes our circumstances and changes our life. So that's what I'm looking for. Lord, I'm in a difficult place, non-dependent, and now my faith responds. So when I say, Lord, increase my faith, and then the trials come, that's what we say, oh, don't ask for that. You'll have trials in life. But really what the trials bring is a place where our heart begins to be prepared. That's what we do. Lord, we prepare our heart. Lord, I need something. This is bigger than I am. And the Lord is faithful. And then by hearing that, there is a faith that is inspired. The Lord brings that inspiration to believe. Will you believe on this? Yes, Lord, I want to believe. I accept it. I want that in my life. And then that power begins to come and begins to work. John, and in the first chapter, he talked about Jesus becoming the Word. And the 14th verse says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory was of the only begotten of the Father, it said, full of grace and truth. That's where I stand. I want to know the truth. The knowledge of the truth and the receipt of that has the power in our life, as we've said. But then I'm dependent on the grace. I'm glad that you don't judge me. And I'm glad that I don't judge you. I'm glad it's not a person that is having a bad day one day and a good day the next day. My Jesus is full of grace and truth. He has the authority, the power, the knowledge that changes my life. And He also has His favor, His grace, the enabling power to accomplish what His truth is asking for. I can set all kinds of rules and mandates on you this morning. I could say do this and do that, but I have no grace. I have no authority. I have no ability to cause you to be able to live according to whatever mandate that I establish. But there is a mandate. It's not mine. And it's not yours, it's God's. And with it comes the grace. That you can't forget that those two things go hand in hand. And our dependency on the Lord is I need your truth, but then I need your grace to live according to the truth and the inspiration that you bring to my heart. And some days I feel like, oh, I did pretty good. And other days I'm like, Lord, just by the grace of God, I've made it to the end of the day. And Lord, fill in the gaps because I'm still human and I'm still dealing with life. But it's Jesus that is the one that is full of grace and truth. So no wonder He said He's a high priest and come boldly before the throne of grace. And I love that verse because in my mind I think mercy, but the throne of grace, also the truth is sitting on the throne. You have to remember that. So when I come boldly before the throne of grace, it's Lord, I need your truth and I need the grace to be able to live by it. I want to read you another account here in Luke and in the 24th chapter. The account of Jesus walking with some men here who the road to Emmaus, we use that as a phrase. It says, and behold, the 13th verse of the 24th chapter, it said, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, I never thought about that part of it. These men, and we might do it with people that we're friends with or companions, but they're reasoning and talking together. My dad used to call the news the talking heads because they all got their different. Someone said this morning in Sunday school about the sea of opinions and ideas, and that's what you get if you turn on the news. Sea of opinions and news. And they're reasoning and talking together. And there can be value in that, and there's a communication that we have, but there was something different when Jesus began to walk with them. It's more than just our reasoning or communing together. It's more than us just getting together and talking about the circumstances or this is what happened or that's what happened. It's more than just us recounting things that happened in the past and glories that existed or miracles that happened in there. And I'm not our worship services, there can be an encouragement, but there's an element that matters to this, that as they reason and as they commune together, there's one that began to walk with them. And it says in the scripture that he began to open up and explain. and showed them the truth is what he did. He revealed to them what the truth was and who he was. And there is a response that happened within them. And in the 32nd verse, it says, "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked us by the way and while he opened up to us the scriptures?" This is the truth that I need. I appreciate your counsel, and we can communicate about things together, but I need my heart to burn. Lord, I need you to open the scriptures, and I have a receipt and an understanding. And don't get me wrong this morning. I've been in a lot of song service, and I enjoy it, and there's a emotion behind it. And then there's been times that I've been in a Sunday school lesson, and the brother is bringing out the word, and it begins to open and clarify, and there's a different kind of burning in that experience that comes. There's something in my heart that begins to respond that this is the truth. This is what's right. And there's a response, and I will even say it's like a physical burn sometimes. There's a response in my heart, physically even, that says this, and that's when the burn goes up, and then the tears start to come out of my eyes, because there's a response to the truth of it. This was the burning that they experienced, and I want to encourage you that as that happens, and just before I move on for a minute, there's a scripture that says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." So don't take what I'm saying in the wrong light. I just need to get alone with it. It says, "Provoking one another to love." There is a communion that we do that God blesses, and He wants it to happen. And if you're not in it, you're losing out. If you don't put yourself and exercise yourself to be in that communion, then you're losing something that God intends for us to have. But that burn, even in our communion, even in our worship, is what I need for the Lord to bring a revelation and an understanding. I thought about, what do I do after the burn? Afterburn, if you can think of it that way. I get inspiration. The Lord brings knowledge. He brings understanding. Then there's an action that comes after that. I can't just be a hearer of something and that's it. And you can. You can sit under the sound of the gospel and your heart burn, and there's even an emotion and a response. But then it's time for the afterburn. I think about these men on the road to Emmaus. It talks about with the disciples. I don't know what their life looked like from that on. But I believe that their experience on that road changed their life forever. I think that from that moment on, the next day and the next day, they thought about what Jesus had done, and I believe He continued to open their mind and their understanding to His truth. It set the direction in their life, the afterburn, so to speak. I find that the Lord comes and inspires, and now I have a responsibility to the truth and my response to that. The Lord brought out a parable of the sower, and I won't go all through it, but I just want to touch on a few things. The first one, the stony place, or the hard ground, the birds came in and it said they had no understanding. So the truth can go forward, but if I can't perceive it, it's like landing on the hard wood, and it's just brushed away. And in that case, the heart has not been prepared at all. It's totally hard baked. It's got the mind and the heart is so set against the things of God that the truth, it just bounces off. It has no effect whatsoever. I don't know how the Lord gets a person to the place where that begins to get broken up some. Stony places. It says they received the word with joy. It was, this is wonderful. But it says there was no root. The stones were so tight under the surface. There was something on the surface that received, but then there were some heavy stones underneath, and it couldn't penetrate and accomplish what the seed was supposed to. And now I'm going to get quiet, because now, wait a minute, now you start to, it's something on, Lord, no, I want to know. And that's why we said, search my heart, O God, because if there's stones in my life that I'm receiving something with joy, but then it just lasts for a moment. And then I say, I'm living from moment to moment, and just these little spring up. No, I want something that establishes itself, that the word that you bring breaks things up and changes. So, Lord, if there's stony places, I want you to get them out of there. Lord, I open myself, search my heart, and show me those places. Let your word of truth, when it comes, I want to recognize by your spirit, where does it apply in my life? Not where does it apply in brother so-and-so's life. Or so, but Lord, where does that apply in my life? What is it for me? And are there things that are going to choke? Are there things that are going to not allow the root to take hold? And sometimes I have to ask, so Lord, there's been things you showed me over the, where have I been with that? And I think about the inspiration of different, Lord, is it gone or can I still see? And it's a test sometimes. Lord, I received there, I was in that, but what was there any harvest that came from that? And that's where I say, Lord, help me to be able to be responsible for the burn that you bring. And another one he said here was where the thorns of life, the cares of life choked it out. We have good intentions. Man, it's just life's so busy. Things are just going on. And the Lord brought his truth and there was inspiration, there was root, and there started to be something. But then I just, well, I got distracted. And I'm over here on this and I'm over there on that. The Lord was faithful. He brought, I would say we even prepared our heart to receive something from him. But then I lost the focus. I began to think about other things and life happened and this is growing and that's and all the stresses of life. And what the Lord brought, just it just begins to wither. No, there's a responsibility that I have. Lord, help me to be faithful. That in the afterburn time, after you've come and you brought, after your meeting's over, after Sunday morning, after Wednesday night and that testimony touches our heart, write it down. Do something that causes us to go back and say, Lord, help this to have its effect in my life. I don't want to come back to the same place over and over and over, and the same things are causing me the same problems over and over and over. The Lord wants to change it. He wants to take us from where we've been and take us out into, we sing the song, take me to higher ground. That's not to elevate. It's, Lord, take me from where I've been to a place you want me to be. And that's going to require us to be responsible to the burn that the Lord brings. Lord, inspire it to my heart and then help me to follow through. One last scripture here in James in the first chapter. Brother Ty, he referenced this verse this morning in Sunday school. Well, if I can find James, that is. Still after Hebrews, hasn't moved. In the 19th verse, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. I preached a message a while back at home and we said we have one mouth and two ears for a reason. I got to listen twice as much as I talk. But swift to hear. Lord, I want to hear what it is that you have to say to me. My heart is open. And it really needs to be that way every morning. But I would encourage you as you've been praying for the meeting, and I can assure you that whatever ministers are coming, they've been praying also that the Lord would inspire them and bring them a message for the hour. But I also, there is a preparation where, Lord, I'm listening. And if I want to speak specifically to that, you have 2 days. What are you going to do between now and Wednesday to prepare your heart? Yeah, what am I doing? Is Monday full of Monday's issues in life, or am I thinking about what's coming? And Lord, I want to hear it and receive it. I want to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, that men's emotion and all the things that they did doesn't have any effect. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, with gentleness, with an openness towards God, the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Engrafted. Melded in. Becoming a part of. I think about when we get to heaven, and one of the scariest scriptures that we have is when Jesus said, depart from me, I didn't know you. I had no knowledge of you. I had no relation. No, when I get there, I want that engrafted word to be so much that I'm just home. Like I've been a stranger here, and now I fit here because of what the Word of God has done in our life through all the circumstances and situations that we've been to. I want to, Lord, engraft it. I don't want to be who I am. I want to be who you want me to be. That's the thrust of my heart. I don't want my identity. I want your identity. I don't want my opinions and my ideas. I want your truth and your opinions and your ideas. I want my vision and my thought process to be shaped how you would shape it. And so that's how we begin to receive and graft it. We all have our own causes and our own ideas, and there's campaigns going for this cause and for that cause. This is the cause. Lord, engraft it, that I understand it, that it's not just something that I speak, but it's what I live, it's what I believe in, it's what's in my heart. Engrafted, something that is going to become a part of us. And then when that burn happens, as he said, but then be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What do you mean? You mean I can hear and listen, but if I don't act, when that inspiration of faith comes, Ken, this is what it takes. Ken, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to tell this person you're sorry. You're going to have to take this out of your life. You're going to have to start to do this when you use. I have to be a doer when that inspiration comes and the Lord brings it. I'm responsible for it. If I don't, I've deceived myself. I've listened to the word. I understood it. There was inspiration. And then I went right back to doing the same things that I've always done. I've deceived myself. I heard it. I understood it. There was a burn. The Lord was faithful. There's an inspiration of faith. I may even say, oh, I believe it's true. It's what I want. But then I went right back and I was who there was no change in my life, no follow through to what the Lord brought. I'm deceiving myself. It had no effect. It didn't accomplish what God wanted it to because I didn't really believe and make it a part of my life. So, Lord, I must be a doer then and receive. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. I did it this morning before I come out. I went in the bathroom, checked, make sure there's anything on my face. Am I button straight? Do I look? But what if I, and then I just stand up here and I make a fool of myself. I looked, I saw, but I didn't do anything. Lord, help us when you show me who I am. Give me your grace and your strength to follow through. Not that I can change myself, but I believe with all my heart that your word has the power to change the circumstances in my life, to change my attitudes, to change my perspective, to change my ambitions and all the things, Lord, that you want to work in my life. I believe that the power of your word is able to do it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Oh, what? Liberty? You're talking about inspiration, I got to do. No, it's a freedom that comes from the law. The law and the inspiration that the Lord brings does not bind. It sets us free. So look into that law of liberty. It is not something that has constrained me, but it has released me. And as I look into that law of liberty then, and continue then, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to encourage you this morning. If you're in a place the Lord has, and it's a, I know it's interesting. My message this morning was not necessarily the word of truth to deliver you, but to prepare your heart to receive what the Lord has, and to have an and to follow through on the inspiration of faith that you can receive for you specifically. The truth that God has for each one of our lives. I ask that you pray for me. I want to be faithful to Him. I want to be a doer, not just a hearer. I want to be faithful to the truth that the Lord's given to me. Pray for me.